What a blessing.
What a blessing.
Once again, I've been doing a lot of reading in the Old Testament, and I've been doing a lot of reading in the book of Isaiah. I've read it over and over. And Isaiah 25:1 was sort of a blessing when I came to that. And Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You know, it's never my intention to exclude anyone from the message on Sunday mornings. But as I was thinking about this particular verse, this particular message, I never planned to exclude anyone. But if you really don't know Jesus Christ this morning, this message is really not directed towards you. You're welcome to enjoy it. But it's more for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're welcome to listen and see what you're missing. But we have so much in Jesus that we need to share with one another, that we need to share with the world. We have a reason for the joy that's in our hearts. And so, really this morning, I'm sort of addressing those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, if you don't know Him, and you happen to be here this morning, and you decide because of something you hear this morning that you would like to know Him, see me after the service. And I will share with you the very thing that we have all shared together, and we do share together. Every once in a while, I like to stop what I'm doing and just think about God. In this life that we're rushing from point to point and event to event, we sometimes don't have time to do that, really. To just sit down, stop what we're doing, and think about God, our Heavenly Father. Such a time occurred recently as I was reading the book of Isaiah, and again, I was in the 25th chapter. And as I read, there was a joy that sort of swept over my soul as the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you can have those times in God's Word where you are reading and suddenly there is just a joy. It was just a very appropriate offertory today. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does to arrange things. You know, it's such a privilege to be able to say, Thou art my God. Just think of what He did to make that possible. He sent His Son to pay the price of all our sin. And the part of it I can't really comprehend is that He did that before He ever created the world. Before He built the universe, He decided that He would love us. And He would call us. And He knew who would respond to that call. And so He made provision for our sin. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do you hear that? He did that before the world ever began. He wanted us to love him. He wanted to be able to love us. And so he did that before the world began. All we have to do is believe. That's all. We just have to believe, and God does the rest. That's the wonderful part of it. Realizing that no assumption or no teaching should be built on just one verse. There's another verse. It's Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So you see, before God ever created anything, he created man or the planet or the universe, he planned to provide for our sin. He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew that everyone, there is none righteous, no, not one. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before he ever created, because God is omniscient, and again, that's a concept I'm not really able to deal with my limited intelligence, but he knew from the very beginning who was going to live upon this earth. He knew your name. He made a place for you. He's extended a call to every one of us, and I think most of us here have accepted that call, if not all of us. Because I don't know you all. But he extended that call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. God promised that. A promise. He keeps his promises, by the way. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, he is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, I think it would be profitable if we took time this morning to think about what a wonderful God we can know and serve. What a wonderful God we can know and serve. Your hearts have already been blessed this morning, or you are deaf. We've sung Christmas hymns. We've listened to the instrumental music that has been here with us, provided for us this morning. So you've already been blessed. But as we think about God and what he did to make it possible for us to be blessed, I hope your heart will be blessed again. Before we do that, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, you are wonderful. You are able, Father, to save us. You provide for us. You keep us after we're saved. And Father, you pour out joy in our hearts and love in our hearts. And you give us peace, peace that passes understanding. Father, you are wonderful. Help us to not only consider that wonder, but to appreciate all that you are doing in our lives. And at this time of year, Father, help us to share with others what you want for them, what you want to do for them. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I think as we get into this message, that a good place for us to start would be 1 John 4, 14 and 15. 1 John 4, 14 and 15. And the Bible says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Now, I can't imagine the one who oversaw the creation of the earth, the Lord Jesus. He is the creator. I can't imagine that he was standing there when Adam and Eve sinned. Realizing what it was going to cost him. I can't imagine him being selfish or mean-spirited like we sometimes are. And yet, he wants every single person in this room to be saved. He wants every single person in this room to spend eternity with him. He doesn't want a single soul to go to hell. Second Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That promise, people, in 2 Peter, it's the one that we read about in Titus 1:2. And let me read Titus 1:2 again. "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Think about that. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 tells us, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them." Everyone sitting in this room this morning, God oversaw your birth and your formation. People wonder why we are so against abortion. Because we are created in the image of God, and because God has a purpose for every child conceived. There have been times that I'm sure that each of us have been by ourselves and perhaps see a day dawn and it was beautiful, glorious color. Or we've seen a sunset that just illuminated the sky in magnificent color. We thought, how great to be alive. How great a God who can do that. And he does. When he formed the earth, just think about it. When he formed the earth, he gave the laws of physics, created them, so that as the sun sets and it reflects against certain parts of the atmosphere and clouds, that we see different colors. He forms the eye that can see those colors. Isn't that a wonderful God? Isn't it great that a God like that can love us no matter who we are, no matter what we've done? He loves us. As I think about birth, I was thinking about a baby and seeing the excitement on people's faces. We all like babies. We like kittens. We like puppies. You know, before they grow up, they're pretty sweet. People are the same way. But they're so cute and cuddly, a little baby with, you know, two eyes, two ears, two hands. I've seen mothers at birth look at the hands to see if there's five fingers on each one. Look at the feet to see if there's five toes on each one. The Bible says that, you know, after the mother goes through the labor, after she goes through the bringing forth of the child, that she rejoices. And I've seen that. How many of us have ever asked God for healing? We're talking about a wonderful God, a great God. How many of us have ever asked God for healing and been given it? Now, there's two or three different ways you can go about that. And I marvel, in this church, we have seen at least two of those ways. God gives us doctors and physicians. He helps them prepare for a time when they may come into our life. A lot of us, as we get white hair or no hair at all, get to meet a lot of different doctors, as just goes with life. People are trying to be more comfortable. But God prepares these doctors by putting them through, letting them go through school and giving them the ability to learn. And then they do an internship and they learn about their particular specialty. And then you and I meet them. They are skilled. They are good at what they do. But you see, we think, oh, it's the doctor who's doing it. No, it's God who prepared that doctor, who gave him the mental ability to learn, who gave him the willingness to spend all that time in school learning. That's one way he can heal us, is with a doctor. Now, we have had at least one occasion, I think a couple, where we have prayed for healing from God, and let's use an example of cancer. The doctor tells us it's there. The doctor shows us pictures of it. The doctor gets ready. He goes in to remove it, and it's not there. Remember? That's the God we're talking about. Why wouldn't somebody want to know him? Why wouldn't they want to have some kind of a relationship to a God who can do that? Where do we start with the wonder of our God? That he is our God is a wonder all by itself. There are people who live all over this world whose gods are a stone statue or a piece of carved wood, Or they are a statue and looks like a bathtub sitting up on its end. And they can't hear when their people pray to them. They can't speak to direct their people. They can't answer their people's prayers. They can't even walk about. They can't move about unless their people pick them up and carry them. And yet they worship them. They bring food out that's hard for them to get, and they lay it out before the statue on a shrine. Now, this may sound facetious. It's not intended to be. But I have never offered to buy a steak for my God. He doesn't need it. Because my God is real. He's living. He hears. He speaks through His Holy Spirit and sometimes through His prophets. He speaks to us every day out of this book, if we will let Him. And that's the kind of God, that's the wonderful God that we can know and have a relationship to. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. Think of all the gods across the world who cannot answer their worshipers. Think of all the gods across the world that cannot move hearts. Our God can. Bible tells us that He moves the hearts of kings as He moves rivers. If you've ever been in a situation where somebody has to have a change of heart, and you ask God, and the next thing you know, you get a phone call and their heart's changed. And they're able to do what you need. That's the kind of God that I was reading about in the book of Isaiah. That's this kind of wonderful God. I wonder, do you think God does things by chance? Do you think that God does things by accident? Do you think that maybe you and I wandered into the grace of God by accident? No. He called us. I wasn't thinking about God when He called me. You probably weren't either. He called each one of us and gave us a chance to become what He wanted us to be. The Apostle Paul speaks about the call in the book of Romans. Romans 8, 27 through 31. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. He knew you from before the world. That's what we looked at earlier. And because He knew what kind of decisions you would make, He predestinated you. That doesn't mean you didn't have a choice. It was your choice. He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to be on God's side, folks. I certainly want Him on my side. You know, most of us were too busy with life to seek God. And so he called us. And at that point, we had a choice. Respond to the will of God or reject him. There are more blessings to those who respond favorably. There are still even blessings for those who reject God because he loves you. If we respond in a positive way, God has had many good things that he wanted to give us. There are promises scattered throughout his word. So if you've been called and have accepted the call to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have become a child of God. Let's look at what the Bible says. Galatians 3, 26 through 29 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ." We sang the family of God. We sing it every Sunday morning because we are all one in Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are one in him. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Jesus Christ is going to inherit what his Father wants. And if you know Jesus Christ, you are an heir of Abraham. What kind of a blessing is that, that you're called a child of God? You are his son or his daughter, and since God is no respecter of persons, and he is not, we are all equal in the sight of God. Your relationship to God is more than just one of thousands of kids. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. That's scary. Because he is God. He is your heavenly Father if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Our relationship to God is more than, like I said, just one of thousands of kids. We have a special relationship with God, and I don't fully understand it, but I know it's true because the Bible tells me this. You are not being disrespectful if you call God Daddy. Wow. I can't bring my heart to do that. He's so much more. And yet Jesus called him Daddy when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's in Mark 14, 34 through 36, talking about his time there in the garden before he was taken away to be crucified. Beginning in verse 34, it says, "And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Jesus called him Daddy. That word Abba means the same thing as Daddy. Now, would you feel comfortable calling the God of the universe Daddy? No, I don't. Yet that is the nature of the relationship that God wants with us. If we are willing to accept His commandments, His will, as a part of our life. Paul told us about it in Romans 8, 15, 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for they have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have the same kind of relationship to God as Jesus did, except for the sin in our lives. We're just not like sinless like Jesus was. So we need to be thinking about what a wonderful God this is. And He is. He's the most wonderful God. One of the things I seem to have a problem with God is His omniscience. I just can't fathom that. Or His being all-knowing. To my understanding, that means that God knows everything, and He does. He knows everything that we have done. He knows every sin that we've ever committed. And yet, He still loves us. Still loves us. And He is not just, it doesn't end there. God is actually expecting us to spend eternity with Him. Wow. What a privilege. Psalm 103, 10 through 14 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, and I'm so glad, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Again, I'm glad. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them who fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are but dust. Now, if that part of His mercy doesn't affect you, then you most likely don't know Jesus as your Savior. That thought causes me to want to be as sure as I can that we make God's plan of salvation clear. Wouldn't it be awful if we met here on a Sunday morning and we didn't tell people how to be saved, how to have or be able to enter into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that relationship with God. And so we want everyone to know. The purpose of our being here is that we might tell everyone that God loves them. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for them. He shed His blood as a payment for our sin. He rose again from the dead with the promise of eternal life. That's the gospel, folks. That's as simple as it is. Every living person has sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. But God loved you enough to make a provision for that sin that He could forgive it. As far as the east is from the west, He sets it off. He doesn't remember it. And those of you who are parents, you know that there are times when you love your children and they do things they shouldn't do, things you don't want them to do. I haven't. There may be some parents who keep a clipboard with all these things written down, but I never did that. And there's a lot of things that I don't remember. Our boys get together now and talk about some of the things they did, and we won. Now we know why my wife's hair is gray. But but God does that with us. He puts our sin away. He doesn't want to remember it. He wants to love us. And we love our children for the same reason. We don't hold grudges, neither does God. So if there's someone here this morning who does not know God, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd love to show you after church how you can know Him for sure. Never to doubt again, because God's Word says we can. Yes, He's a wonderful God. I don't know why anybody would want to reject Him once they get to know Him. And that's our job, making sure that people know Him. We are 3 weeks closer to having a sign out front where we can tell people how much God loves them by putting up His Word. You be praying. If you know God, you be praying that we will have an opportunity this week to tell someone about what God did and how they can know Him. And you be praying that God's Holy Spirit will prepare their hearts and their souls to accept Him. That would really change an outlook on this time of year. Let's pray. Father, I don't understand how You can love us so much, knowing what we are, and yet You do, because You tell us so. And Father, we know You cannot lie, that Your Word is true, that it has no contradictions, and we know that Your Word tells us that there is only one way that we are ever going to be able to come to You, that's through the man Jesus Christ. Father, we would ask, if there is someone here this morning who does not know Jesus, if this will be the day when they will come to know Him, that You will help make Him real through the working of Your Holy Spirit in their hearts. Thank You, Father, for bringing us together for this time this morning. We do love You. And we do ask that You will help us to not be ashamed, but to boldly share the gospel with the world around us. And we will praise You, Father, for what You have done. In Jesus' name, amen.